I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. This week, I'll be interviewing Dara O'Brien.
A pleasure. Comedian, presenter, author, personality, physicist, fishy list, pishy fist. Dara O'Brien, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's been a long time coming. I've been trying to get you on the show for a while. Finally, our agents have made it work. I'm so glad you could be here. Did you have difficulty finding the place?
Getting away. I had difficulty in not doing it. That was the key thing. I've been evading you for some time.
Right.
And shifting agents, repeatedly shifting agents, which has been has taken a toll, to be honest. I can't remember which one I have at the moment. But eventually they trapped me because they told me this was a different thing.
And we got you. We finally got you.
They said, it's like Would I Lie to You? And I thought, great. Except it isn't that at all. And now I'm here and it's too late to go.
Absolutely. Rob Brydon, I am not. As the Times generously said in 2015. Now, you have been described as Britain's favourite Irishman. Now, was that a huge honour, or does being announced the winner of an ethnic group feel vaguely threatening?
We shouldn't rank
these people. It feels a very odd thing to do.
It feels strange to pitch people in against each other in some sort of cage fight, where I and Norton and possibly the liked one from Westlife fights to the death with whatever broken stick you leave us with.
Is that what happened?
It is. And right. I won, and I held Norton's head aloft.
I thought they were showing a lot of old clips on Facebook recently.
They have been CGI-ing him for some years now, but really it's an easy job. It really is. Your new film, ho, ho, ho. And tell us a story, I'll pull a lever. I mean, honestly, his skin was used as a suit for the other members of Westlife for years now, and they've been controlling it from here.
It's a terrifying image, but I mean, I felt...
You should see him out of the suit. It's even more, it's like a big skeleton, it's all spooky.
I detected a hint of jealousy of Graham Norton there, that you maybe wanted a chat show of
this
your own.
This goes back.
Really?
Can you tell us? The mix. Don't stir this pot, my friend. This shit goes back to Cork in the 80s.
We all remember it well, Cork in the 80s.
Stop it. Let me take you back. The soft mooing of the cattle, the
road. And that's where your beef started.
It is. Literally, we're all... All the beef starts with stuff mooing of a cattle, and then a bull appears, and then that's how the beef starts. And then, bingo, burgers about 8 months later. Our eyes met, and I thought, I will be locked in a battle with you for many years. And the worst of it is, he won't even know. He is totally unaware that we are locked in a battle. He has not even registered this. He's very polite. He says, hi, good to meet you. And I go, oh, you say this. But we both know we're locked in a lifelong career battle for this award.
Now, can I just ask, by some miracle of genetics, I believe that you have appeared to be 47 years of age your entire life. Is that...
It is.
Now, how old are you now?
I am 47.
Right, that makes sense.
I've been giving the answer for some time now. Listen, you got to pick your angle. You got to pick your hook in this situation. And I gaze at the comedy scene around me, full of young bucks and cool guys and gals looking. And I thought, no, what this scene needs is a pr- very maturely aged man. And that's difficult to pin down. It's difficult. Yes. And even, I mean, to the extent that, where is he from even? Because even the accent slips. I mean, I've been doing this Irish character for years now.
Right, you can't really drop it now, can you?
It's too late. No. I'm trapped in a prison of my own making. Correct, just restocking the batteries there. But I thought what I should do is I should pluck the hair immediately, right?
Right.
Just, and then slowly male pattern will fill in the gaps. But it was, but it's good because I'm non-threatening. Non-threatening. 47 is the perfect, it's not quite irrelevant,
right.
But close to it. But still fatherly.
Sort of cool uncle is what you're going for.
No, that was really what I wasn't going for to be honest, actually. No, cool uncle is, this isn't your daughter, this is a hooker. That's what cool uncle looks
like. You're right. A lot of people in the 70s tried the cool uncle and it didn't go well.
You go to any hotel dining room along the Strand and there's a lot of cool uncles. We're up for a conference, whatever. No, you're going for father of a younger family. That's a sweet spot right there. That's grand. Oh, not getting any sleep. Oh, you know yourself. I mean, the observational stuff just rolls out at that stage.
For many with a comedy career, such as yourself,
it
all starts in the classroom, doesn't it? I mean, were you a popular class clown like Bart Simpson, or did you develop comedy as a sort of defence like real people do?
But I was already 6'4", so what was I defending myself against? That's the question I have to ask. Who was I scared of? I was 4 feet taller than the rest of the people in my class.
Right.
It was ridiculous. But yet they would stir, and I'd go, and I'd be scared. I was easily frightened.
Just 4 foot tall, a child.
I instantly came out at 6'4".
Right.
And
wow, you weren't so much born as extruded.
In many ways, I was made in a lab. And to explain my obsession to meet scientists and finally kill my maker. Slowly working my way to the roster of BBC Science until I found, oh, really? Experiments in Ireland in the 70s? Ha ha! They finally, anyway. But always taller, always a huger man. Always a huger man.
So presumably you were always sort of being looked at, so you needed something to say.
I needed to deflect, yeah. I needed to become something else. I need to be something other than myself.
So you pluck all your hair out.
Yes.
And you become a sort of father figure.
Sexy dad.
But in the classroom, in the playground.
It's not a role many children take, sexy dad in the classroom.
It's not the sort of, they do.
You know, you've got the clown, you've got the jocks, you've got the swats, and then there's one sexy dad just sitting there. They're going, no!
Yeah, I can't wait for the new series of Stranger Things when they add a sexy dad to the group who is seven years old.
That's why they had to stop Grange Hill. Because it just became an
too many sexy dads.
Too many sexy dads in the classroom.
Now, you started out making shows not in British television, but
nope. But
in Ireland.
Yes!
Yeah, now, what sort of things go on there?
Just in Ireland generally?
Yes, I mean, because I...
Picture the scene.
Right.
We have our own culture, it's everything. It's a different country.
Yeah, well,
it's not like a different country, which is what British people genuinely say. Sure. It's like a different country. Yeah, it is. Wars and shit. Yes,
that's true. I went there once because I it was very exciting. You know, I got on a plane. I didn't need a passport or anything. I just had to show a Lego Club membership card or something, and I was waved on. The plane nearly crashed. It was wonderful, and I was expecting to have my sort of preconceptions challenged. You know, to see the real Ireland with my own eyes, and I was immediately handed a Guinness and a Baran. And told to just go and enjoy myself. And I had a wonderful time. It was very disappointing.
Okay, Grant. Okay. I like the way you said Baran. For many reasons...
Is that not how it's pronounced?
It's not even within the fucking ballpark of how it's pronounced. Like,
really?
It is like... It's like Wikipedia trying to pronounce it on an early algorithm,
I mean,
right?
It's spelled Bodrum, isn't it?
It's spelled Baron is how it's pronounced, but that's okay. That's Grant.
Gandalf was nearly killed by one of
those. He was, indeed. They kept sweeping down a hill and Helm's Deep or something. And possibly saw it once, didn't like it. But the Baron, which is goat skin stretched across a wooden frame.
That's right.
It's very much like a tambourine, but without all the kind of hippie shit associated with it. And which leads to an insistent rhythm when it's played correctly.
Yes.
Insistent rhythm, played with the bones of a goat against the skin.
Very hard to play. Very hard to play.
Maybe if we did the entire rest of this interview to that rhythm. That's why I talk so fast. Because in my head, at all times, the sound, the ancient primal sound of the Baron is constantly rotating in in my brain.
You're a sort of spoken word poet in that regard.
In many ways, yes. Yeah. And all the dum-dum-dum-dum of the thing, and speaking to me of the ancient land and the rhythmic sounds there within, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So why did they give you a baron as well?
I am a drummer, and they were hoping that I could play it, but of course I can't. I mean, it's got a sort of backward beat at the same time. It's a completely different
skill. There's a wrist action to it. That's right. There's a whole rhythm. All the great Irish things are rhythm. Hurling, our game.
That's right.
Game played entirely with the wrists. Very strong wrist action. The baron played with the wrists, like whatever. Wanking.
We've made famously an came from Ireland.
Famously, we invented wanking. And then
came across the Irish Sea, didn't it?
The monks spread wanking all over Europe. Sometimes all
and
over.
Catholicism was born.
I mean, those diagrams in the Book of Kells, that's porn. That's kind of some sort of weird kind of gold leaf pornography for people that, all over. Book of Kells, it's filth. The whole thing, like whatever. Yeah, so we very much brought wanking back. Wanking was there, but then when the Library of Alexandria burnt down, they had nothing to wank over.
Right.
And then the Dark Ages began, and luckily the Irish monks were then able to reintroduce masturbation to the world. Yeah.
And finally, it sort of reached its apex, I imagine, in the internet era.
Yes.
And that's Irish culture.
We're an elemental people. An elemental people. And it's a culture that we get, a profound 1,000-year-old culture that we can use for our own benefit.
So what sort of programmes do you make for that culture?
Oh, just knock-offs of BBC shit.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, right? What I did was essentially, I did a kids' TV show.
Right.
I did, yeah, it was called.
You and me both, yes. I started in kids' TV.
You're joking.
Yes, I did.
What was your show called?
Well, it was called Tombly Waz, and it's, as they all are, they're just sort of syllables thrown together in a meeting.
Yes.
And it's about some sort of pastel-coloured puppet. I don't know. I met them once and they couldn't speak English. They could only say their own names to me repeatedly.
Right,
I didn't
okay.
really know what they were saying.
It's an interesting one. I just show called Kids Bounce Back, in which...
That sounds dark.
Yes, it is. Working title, Young Bones Heal Fast. It sailed close to the edge. Did a couple of times. It was an edgy show, but like it's grand. Yeah.
So presumably it starts quite bleakly with the children receiving some sort of injury.
Yes,
but they always bounce back.
We track them
sometimes over weeks or months.
We follow their rehabilitation,
right.
And then we go, you're back to where you were. And then the twist is we push them over again.
Full circle.
And it's about the circle of life in many ways.
And sometimes. It's about death.
It is. Unfortunately, we have pushed them near a cliff occasionally. And all to the insistent sound of the baron. Constantly putting away.
If you'd like to see Inside the Comedian recorded live, our next show is on Thursday, the 11th of July at King's Place Theatre in London, where I'll be interviewing Lucy Porter and Richard Herring. Tickets are now on sale from kingsplace.co.uk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I want to know how you got to where you are sort of now, because of course you're the host of a seemingly endless topical panel show now, called This Week's Jokes, where comedians tell one-liners, sat down, and then they stand up and they tell some one-liners, and then they sit down again.
Yes.
Do you think variety is important in comedy?
It's a key. It's the key, absolutely. And if a joke doesn't work well in the sitting down position, in the following week, they'll try it standing up.
Right.
And often, it's that small change in altitude that can make a joke really sing.
Because not many people play with that level, do they?
They don't.
In comedy.
I mean, it really is. It's fine-tuned. It really is.
And do people ever lie down to tell jokes?
We tried that. Tried series one. Oh, it didn't work. And for a start, we're behind a desk. And
of course.
You didn't know where the voice was coming from, right?
Rather off-putting, isn't it?
It was strange, actually. I mean, one of them was a strong Scottish accent, so you knew what was going on there. But the rest of us, it didn't. It was a murmur. It was like some sort of, nouvelle théâtre. This is a show best watched in the dark, and just seeing the voices interact, like whatever. It was like
radio, it's called.
Radio.
Radio.
Also radio. Yeah. I have also described radio there.
People have come and gone, but you've remained. What's kept you there in the seat? Is it a
lack of other opportunities
has
very much kept me there. And also the sense that, in many ways, we're the finishing school for people as they pass through.
Right.
You're back
to being the father of the group, aren't you?
I am. I found my level, clearly. Needs a 47-year-old to wave them through. To wave them through and go, oh, look, there he goes, Ramesh. There he goes, Mickey Flanagan, whatever. They've all passed through here.
Yeah.
And we laugh, me and Hubert Dennis. And we go, oh, what laughs we had. Well, it's like Mr. Holland's Opus. Have you seen Mr. Holland's Opus?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Who hasn't seen Mr. Holland's Opus?
Right.
And it's a comparison. I've drawn regularly and nobody has got. So I'm delighted to be in the company that gets this. And we wave them off and they get younger and younger until it will get inappropriate again.
Now, many of our audience will actually know you from Alan Sugar's sociopath recruitment show, Sugar's
Yes.
Lumps.
Yes.
Where you hosted the spin-off discussion show, Sugar's Lumps, You're Silly. So what was that about? Like, because he basically set up this system to find some of the worst people on earth, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And how is he monetizing those people? I don't really understand the problem.
No one quite really gets what happens at the end of it and has never got to it. But the idea was, like a travelling barker, Sugar would stand out and go, roll up, roll up, roll up, employment for the greatest fools we can find here. And
right.
He'd roll his caravan around the town, like whatever's going on. And then once they pass through the curtains, a kabuki drop, and you realize, no, it was all a lie. We're just going to mock you and laugh at you for 10 weeks.
Right. False hope.
Oh, it was entirely false.
Absolutely.
There was nothing at the end of it. It was an empty box. They went into a room and they opened the box and there's nothing in it. Just a set of chattering teeth going, ha, 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 ha. And that's all there was at the end. And then the realization would crash onto them. Like whatever. That was always the point of the scene, as you remember.
Right.
At the end of all of the finales of Alan Sugarlump's Sugarlump Express show.
That's right.
That's the one.
It's what it was called in America.
Yes, exactly.
He wasn't involved in that one.
It bombed terribly,
bombed,
right? Yes. But the last one, they'd walk into the room and say, well done, this is the prize you've won, right? And they'd walk into the room and then they'd pull back a curtain and it was just a mirror and they were just looking at their own face. And it really was. And sometimes that just crushed people. It really was.
You've won a self-realisation.
You have.
A crushing self-realisation.
This is who you are. It would buzz in a neon style in the mirror. Bzz, bzz, this is you. Bzz, bzz, and they would just fall to the ground and weep. And the fact that they let that shot, they leave the shot linger, I thought it was very brave of BBC Two.
Yes.
They would leave the camera on them as they wept for 10, 15 minutes at a time. Right?
Yes. Yes.
And we were in a tiny box. You remember, we were in a tiny box.
That's
in the
right.
thing, just looking at them cry for 15 minutes.
What do you think it is about this format that's created so many people that have caused such damage in this world?
Well,
I mean, it's been a sausage factory for absolutely the worst of the 21st century, hasn't it? I mean, America is ruled by someone who's
yes.
gone through that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, some of our worst media personalities all went through it. And there you are. Poking the bear.
Like Mr. Holland and his opus, waving
right.
the arseholes past.
Everyone knows that reference. Everyone gets it.
It's a classic. Richard Dreyfuss weeping. Watching them pass. I mean, like, it really was the yin to my yang with the jokes show. But were they damaged beforehand, or did we damage them? I mean, yes, we did damage
you
them
did
more.
Damage them,
but they were already damaged.
Yes.
That's an important thing to note. And if anything, they were already damaged.
Can Can you smash a cracked jug?
Yes, you can smash it more,
you can
obviously.
Smash it more,
but it's
yeah.
already fundamentally not working.
It's already principally no longer useful as a jug.
The milk is dropping everywhere, right. For God's sake, we might as well break the pieces even more. Right. And that's
good telling.
Yeah, it is. It's not a very pithy slogan for a TV company. No. I think the gist is broadly that. Yes.
Of breaking jugs.
Breaking
jugs.
Yes. Damaged people.
Damaged people.
Give me your tired, your huddled, your damaged people. I'll make them sell orange juice in a warehouse at 3 a.m. and let's see what happens there.
Let's move on to more personal matters, if we could. You've described yourself as a Catholic, but like nearly all Catholics I know, you have also said that you don't believe there is a God.
Yes.
Are you just in it for the parties? What's that about?
Honestly, it was never a requirement for Catholicism to give a damn about God.
No.
It was always just a gang. It was a place to go on Sunday. Sundays are quiet in Ireland. There's very little happening, to be honest, until there's a match in the middle of the afternoon. So really, you needed something. So bong, bong, bong went the bells, and away we went.
Right.
And yeah, absolutely. And there's a bit of bread in the middle of it.
Yeah, a bit of pageantry as well.
Bit of
something
pageantry,
to enjoy.
Yeah. There was wine as well, but no one was fooled by that.
They don't sell those wafers just as crisps in the supermarket, which probably tells you all you need to know about them. They're not worth it.
Once you pop, you can stop. It really is. There's very little go in them. It really is. It's not worth doing at all.
I mean, I've never seen a church that uses quavers, for instance. I mean, they're really missing a trick.
That would be lovely, because what happens is, because you have to put your tongue out. If you popped a quaver onto it, people go, that would be... And we go, that is a miracle. I didn't expect... The prawn cocktail flavour of the curved up one that looks like a flower. What is it?
The skip. There we go.
Is.
Someone was desperate for the skip to be included in this. Yeah, they melt.
They would melt in your mouth, but then you get a hit of the prawn cocktail and you go,
I mean,
this is unusual in the Catholic Church.
That's got more pageantry to me than the plain old wafer. I mean, they should start using skips.
They should do that. And do you know what else would work? Monster Munch.
Yes.
Monster Munch would be a delight in that situation. It'd be lovely.
I've asked Twitter if they have any questions for you. I hope you'll indulge me.
Of course.
I'll just read some of these. So, at Wonky Honky Tonky Donkey writes, when will we see Dara O'Brien in a film? I would love to see you as Q in James Bond, or voicing a CGI guinea pig in some old shit they release at Christmas. What's going on there? Anything appeal?
That's the dream. The dream is to parlay this work I've done into something that appears on the side of a bus in like one of the weeks in August and then is never seen again. And that is, you know, so that'd be my idea, like a British animated movie that only appears for a week, midsummer, and then
which it sort of features some animals that are cheap to license, like none of the main ones, like foxes or badgers or something really obscure, like a polecat.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
It's the polecat movie.
Yeah, and we're featuring the music of Blue.
Yeah,
and that's the dream, obviously. Like whatever, but showbiz is a tough game. I mean, it's very tough to jump from place to place. People box you off like whatever.
But I think science might be your way into playing a film role
really,
of a
more
scientist.
Than comedy. More than performing comedy. It's the science stuff that might get me a movie career.
Yes,
not the 25 years I've spent building a persona, a waste of time. That
waste
was all foolish.
Yeah. Complete waste of time. Nobody laughs in the cinema anymore. Have you seen film comedies? Oh, atrocious things.
Yes, okay, grand. But if there was one tiny vole explaining science in the corner of the film.
So you're open for work, is what you're saying? It's
at all times.
Okay.
And listen, I think that's obvious. I have.
It's a running theme, weirdly, in people willing to do this show. It's very interesting. It comes up in every episode.
They said, will you do the show? When is it on? I'm free all those days.
Well, let's do all of them. Why
okay,
not?
Fine.
I'm free all those days, too.
Yeah.
So I'll go back to Twitter. At Breakfast Means Breakfast says, what's your greatest career regret? Is it that show you did about sewage?
Okay, Sewage Live was an exciting attempt by BBC Science to shine a light on an underappreciated part of the national infrastructure, right?
Right.
And to be the face of Sewage Live was one of the proudest things that I or Maggie Philbin have ever done.
Right.
We're both very proud of the work where we would be down, and the bit where a particularly impressive turd floated past, and we're able to go, no, we just, this has just come in, this has just come in, and look at that, and what can we tell from that?
And then it got wedged in a fatberg, and we were like, oh, is it ever going to get out?
I know.
And I mean, you did have to fill quite a bit.
There was a lot of, well...
And I don't mean fill the... You waited for real turds.
We had to wait. And it turns out it really not that many go past a lot of the time. A lot of it is just domestic fat use. But when
one did go past, it was very sensible of you to sort of play Angels by Robbie Williams or something, just to give it an emotive sort of message as it went past.
It was in a lovely effect. The fact that we had to digitise it for privacy reasons, under GDPR, we couldn't...
You can't tell if I someone else's turd.
You can't tell if I someone's feces.
That's
because
private.
It could be traceable. So we had to show a lightly digitized turd as Robbie Williams live. And that was the most amazing thing. That Robbie Williams live sang Angels in the sewer as the turd went past. I mean, that was a you give me connection, love. And it was very moving. And he did all the verses as it slowly.
So that is not a regret for you.
I think a lot of people know a lot more about the sewage system of London and the availability of Robbie Williams because of that show.
Yes. At Real Colonel Sanders says, would you rather be blind or mute? It's quite a threatening question, isn't it? It is.
And it's not the first time he's asked.
What's his bag?
You know what? It goes back to Cork in the 80s. Let me take it back. The cows are moving. There's so much beef in every direction, like whatever it's got. Norton and I are doing whatever, and that's, you know, his nom de plume. And through it all.
He offered you affection, and you turned him down.
I turned him down. And then it's like blind or mute. I live under the shade of knowing that someday that's going to happen.
He's going to come for you.
He will find me, yeah.
Right. God. Well, hopefully it's not tonight. Or actually, that would make great podcast, wouldn't it? One last one. At Haley358159 says, who cares? Oh, that's nice. So who are your closest friends?
So many people, Haley. It's really sweet to ask that. Because people don't ask about the actual anomalies in your life.
They don't often want to imagine you as a normal human being.
A real person.
They want to see the Godhead.
Yes, they do. And they know that behind this curtain, there's just a smaller, meeker man wondering about his decisions. Wondering if it's the right thing to do, like whatever.
Right, about. Like this show.
Like this show, maybe. Yeah. This wondering a lot about this one. On the ranking thing, the sewage thing is much higher. Who cares? Who cares? The laughter of a child. That's why.
What a beautiful phrase,
isn't it? Isn't it a lovely phrase? I feel no one has ever said that. That is mine and mine alone. That particular phrase. But that's what I do it for. And that's as long as I made one child laugh.
Well, they're not allowed in tonight, so I'm sorry about that.
Then the whole thing has been
a colossal waste of time. Dara Breen, thank you for letting us inside you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. If you've enjoyed the show, then please help us spread the word by following @InsideComedian on Twitter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.